Welcome to the Next Level Social Podcast. I'm your host, Ayla Sorachuk, and my purpose is to help female entrepreneurs create businesses and brands through social media and online marketing so they can start to attract their ideal client and start generating the leads, the sales, and the income that they deserve. If you're ready to take your business to the next level and start showing up online like the unstoppable entrepreneur that you are, then this is the perfect place for you. Let's get social. Hello, hello. What is going on? What is good? Welcome back to a new episode of the Next Level Social Podcast. I am your host, Ayla, and as always, I am so excited and honored and grateful and just vibing that you are here today for a new episode of the show. And if you are new here, welcome. Hey, how are you? Be sure to subscribe. We have videos over on YouTube and Spotify. And then, of course, you can tune in and listen to wherever you listen to podcasts. It means the world to me if you do that. And definitely give me a shout out. If you're listening to this episode, make sure to screenshot the episode and tag me. It helps me in the podcast so much. And I actually love having conversations with you and seeing who's actually tuning in every week. So screenshot me, tag me, and then we can chat about the episode, what you liked, what you didn't. Also give me requests on what you want to see. I love custom tailoring the podcast, actually all of my content, to exactly what you desire to learn from me. So definitely make sure to do that. All right. So your girl has I think all the episodes I have are pretty great. That's why I'm doing them, if I do say so myself. But I have an exciting episode because I'm sharing today what I'm going through right now. I kind of did that last week too. More so on the personal side. We're bringing it back to the business front today, and I'm going to dive into exactly kind of what I'm going through. And I'm in the trenches a little bit, the exciting trenches. I call it champagne problems. But if you follow me on social, and if you're listening to this in real time, you may have saw and noticed that I am getting ready to host my second content immersion retreat in Banff. I co-partnered with my sister-in-law on this retreat. The first one we did was in Tulum back in April of 2023, and then now we are headed to the homeland. We're headed to Banff, Alberta, Canada. Right now it's January 2024, to host our second content immersion retreat. There are 13 of us going, including our team and the amazing female entrepreneurs that purchased tickets and joined the retreat as students. And oh my God, we are in the thick of it. I am anxiously awaiting. Today is Tuesday and we're leaving on Friday. So as you can imagine, with anything, especially in the event retreat business, there are so many moving parts, so much to think about. There's so many people that I'm personally responsible for. And so while I am so excited because I know how impactful this retreat is going to be, not only for the women's businesses and brands and content and social media, but and selling and monetization and income, but also I just know how it's going to be for their lives. And the reason I know this is because this is our second one doing it. I think back on our Tulum retreat all the time, actually, because so many of the women that joined us in that retreat are still part of my world now in one way, shape, or form, either private clients or through the mastermind, or just, you know, really dear friends at this point on social media. It was such an amazing experience. So this retreat has some pretty big shoes to fill, I'm not going to lie, but I know so many of the women. A couple of the women are actually in my mastermind now, so I'm just excited to meet them in real life. It's an exciting time, and we're kicking 2024 off with a giant bang because this is a giant task and project that we're executing. And so I thought today, because I'm learning so much, I learned so much from the first retreat, but I'm also learning so much in real time as I'm recording this and as I'm planning and executing this, that I think could be super helpful for anyone that either wants to host a retreat or planning on hosting retreats, wants to sell their first retreat, or maybe, you know, scale selling retreats that they've done before. So today I wanted to dive into some of the process and the behind the scenes and lift the veil, if you will, and dive into some of the lessons that I learned and am learning when it comes to selling and planning my second in-person content immersion retreat. So let's just dive into it. And if this is something that's on your heart this year, I'm going to say, like, just first and foremost, just do it. This is something that I've been thinking about actually teaching and mentoring on as well. A lot of questions have been coming up recently on how to launch retreats and how to execute event planning. And sidebar, I think the reason why so much of this actually does come pretty naturally to me is because I used to be a wedding and event planner back in my day. Actually, for like 5 years, all through university, as a side gig, I planned weddings. I worked for a couple of really amazing wedding and event planning companies. So I learned a lot about planning and executing and scheduling and, you know, crossing all of your T's and dotting all of your I's and checking things twice, three times, four times, and never procrastinating in events because things are going to come up and all of that. So I think I've really been able to adapt and take on a lot of the skills that I learned while that was a part of my career in the early stages. But I'm still learning things every single day as we do this and things are coming up. And so I want to talk about that. But even before talking about the actual planning and executing, I want to dive into a little bit of the selling the retreat. Because as I said, we sold out this retreat. And that in itself is a huge undertaking. And we learned a lot both times, both different, launched differently, both sold differently. We did some things the same. We did some things differently. So I want to talk about it. So the first thing that we really, in my humble opinion, executed brilliantly on both launches of our retreats was creative branding and launching. And where we're really big on branding. Branding is something that I definitely think is one of my specialties. I know a lot of my clients come to me because of my branding, because of the way that my branding stands out, because of the video that's incorporated. And I'm always trying to be super innovative here. This is something that's important to me on all aspects of my social media, in my Instagram stories, on my graphics, in my photo shoots. I like to be different. I like to be different with everything, with my home, with my fashion. I put a lot of emphasis into the aesthetic of the way that I lived. And so being different is something that I really, really prioritize. And that's really important to me. And that's important to me in my home life. And that's also important to me when it comes to my social media. And so for the Banff Content Immersion Retreat, we wanted to have a lot of fun with it. And so like any photo shoot or branding shoot or content shoot that we did, we start over on Pinterest. We started on Pinterest and we started to pin away the vibe and the aesthetic and how we wanted it to look in terms of the marketing. And then we did some pre-launch hype. So we went out to Banff, my sister-in-law and I, and actually my goddaughter. It was hilarious. My six-year-old daughter came with us and she actually was our photographer and videographer this time. I'm not going to lie. So if we can teach her, I hope her dad's not listening. I don't think he would vibe with that. But if we can teach her how to direct, I think I need to show like the behind the scenes footage of the content that we were shooting, because you can literally hear her little voice on camera. We just put music over it when we actually use the content for launching, but you can hear her saying, "Ayla, go left, mom, turn right, twirl, twirl, spin, spin." She definitely spends a lot of time with her mom and I and has learned so much. But we had a tripod, of course, so all she really had to do was press the button to take the photos and the videos. But hey, she crushed it and she did amazing. And so we went out there to get a little pre-launch hype momentum content. So that's like a big piece of our strategy too, is waitlisting and pre-launching. We are already starting to talk about our next retreat, even though we have no idea when it's going to be, no idea where, but we know that at least once a year, we want to continue doing these, you know, for a long period of time. We see this as a whole separate business, and it's actually turning into and has turned into a whole separate business, which I'm going to talk about as well in a second here. But I digress. The pre-launch and the hype momentum piece of any launch, I talk about this in all of my launching podcasts, is so important. And so that was important to us. We wanted to create momentum, let people know that we're going to be doing a retreat in Banff, and we started a waitlist with some really fun branding in the mountains. Then from there, I was hit with this spark of creative flow where I was like, it was Christmas, we were in the season, and I was watching on repeat The Holiday, the movie. And if you know, you know, it's my favorite Christmas movie. I think a lot of us love this movie around the holidays and basically have it in repeat during the month of November and December. At least I know I do. And I was watching it and I was watching it, and all of a sudden I was like, how freaking cool would it be to have a theme around the launch of this retreat around the holiday? We're gonna bring these women on the holiday. It's Christmas right now. There's snow everywhere, and there's so many iconic moments in that movie. If you know, you know, Cameron Diaz, you know, walking her bag through the snow in heels on her way to her vacation, her in her bed, you know, with a smorgasbord of food all to herself, running back to Jude Law, you know, the girls dancing, drinking wine and dancing in the living room, or Kate Winslet dancing on her bed. Like, there's so many iconic moments. So I was like, let's recreate this and make this part of our launch. Let's have our launch be the theme of the holiday. And we got fired up about it. First of all, our energy behind this launch, our excitement behind this launch was on fuego. I literally was like, I'm a freaking genius. How did I think of this? And we then, of course, having the idea is one thing, but then executing it is another. So we headed back to Banff. We're only an hour and a half away from Banff right now. We brought our photographer, we brought our videographer, and we shot some theme, holiday theme like content. And so then when we were ready to actually launch live to the waitlist and launch fully pre-sale and post-sale to the public, we had some really fun content that was, it was just like, when I say so much fun, it was just so much fun. And the virality of the content was super shareable, and it really built the momentum. And I think it played a huge role into us being able to sell out our 5 spots. So fun branding in any launch can be super effective. And it really was a massive part, I think, and believe, to why we were able to market this in such a fun, seamlessly, effortlessly way. So creative branding and launching, hype, waitlist, always key. So we advertise the waitlist for a couple of weeks. And then as always, when we sell and launch to a waitlist, we send emails to this waitlist first for 48 or 72 hours at an exclusive price. And with any launch that I do with waitlist, that's usually an effective way to get some sales in before you even launch to the public. So definitely something to consider the next time that you're launching is having a waitlist, launching via email to them. There's no better feeling than selling out spots in any offer, especially a retreat, before you actually live launch on your full public social media. There's no better feeling than having a couple spots sold. It gives you that extra boost of confidence that you're on the right path and that this is going to be a successful launch. And then energetically, you're able to show up so much more powerfully and boldly. And that's for sure something that we definitely executed and were able to embody as we went into this launch, was because we had the effectiveness of the waitlist launch. So I'm big on building hype and momentum and exclusivity and urgency, really, with promoting a waitlist for a couple of weeks and then launching exclusively to them at an early bird price with some sort of expiry to make people take action. They need that urgency. They need that, you know, that momentum to move. Always think of your own purchasing and buying behavior in anything that you buy, right? You usually need some sort of push, whether it's a discount that expires, whether it's limited quantities, whether it's an exclusive upgrade or bonus. In anything that you're buying, think of how you buy. That's also, as a entrepreneur and as a marketer, how you need to sell and advertise for your launches. So that's what we did for sure in the selling phase of this retreat. Another piece, which I talk about all the time, is FOMO. And so we did FOMO really well, I think, during the launch. And then we're also keeping the FOMO and the momentum in real time now. So I'll break this down a little bit. So in any launch, you have to always, your mind is so powerful, right? Like, it will fuck you up. Sorry if you have kids in the car. I know I don't swear too much on the podcast, but your mindset can fuck you up in a launch. I'm going to keep it real. If you don't sell what you think you're going to sell in the time frame that you think you're going to sell it in, you can start to spiral, and you could still start to affect your energy and your mental health. And next thing you know, you're not showing up powerfully and boldly, and your audience can feel it, you can feel it, and it's going to just lead to this catastrophic, you know, potential fail of a launch. So your mindset's everything. And with that being said, if you feel like you're not in a place where you're launching the way that you want, FOMO is something that you can really lean into and that we always lean into. So FOMO means fear of missing out. And this is a huge tactic in marketing. It's a huge tactic in human behavior in every aspect. People always feel like they're missing out if they see something online, if they see their friends on a trip or, you know, anything that seems exclusive and fun and is marketed in a way that's appealing, you're going to get this fear of like, oh, I wish I was part of this. And so that's something that is part of my overall launching strategy, which, by the way, if you want to learn more about how to launch like this, I have an entire course called Magnetic Launch. I'll leave a link for it in the show notes below that goes in depth into my launching strategy and all of the tactics and actually shows you examples of how to execute this. But what we did for this launch was we showcased the women that were signing up. So I think at this point we had three girls signing up. And so I made some really beautiful templates and some videos highlighting the women, showing how insane the women that are joining us are, because these women are insane. The women that signed up are badass. They're powerful. They're entrepreneurial. They're all different. They have different niches and industries. The first retreat that we did, it was all kind of a similar vibe. This one is so different. We have just such a diverse group of women coming, and I'm so excited. And I knew that that would also make other women that were on the fence that needed that extra push excited as well. So FOMO is everything. It can really help shift the energy and your mindset during a launch. And when I say that we're still doing that now, we're still keeping the FOMO, even though doors are closed, tickets are sold, the doors closed December 1st. It's been like a month or 6 weeks actually since we closed the door, but we're still keeping the FOMO alive. We're still showing sneak peeks of us planning the retreat, showing little glimpses of the schedule, showing where we're staying, showing the swag bags that we've created all of the women, showing, you know, the meetings that we're having around the retreat, still creating that FOMO and that energy. And the amount of people that we have had reaching out to us every single day saying, do you have a waitlist for your next retreat? When is your next retreat? I need to be on your next retreat is absolutely mind blowing, which is why we have a waitlist now for our next retreat. Check out the show notes and the link in the show notes if you want to know when we're hosting our next one. I have no idea when it's going to be. It's probably not going to be this year. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if I'm cut out for two of these a year, but definitely once a year. And so keep your eyes and your inbox open and definitely join the waitlist if you want exclusive details that we won't be sharing anywhere else. But FOMO, FOMO, FOMO is absolutely everything. And starting to build hype and urgency, the sooner the better around anything. But that's definitely what we've been doing with this retreat. All right. Now I want to take you behind the scenes and keep it a little real with you in terms of the revenue and the actual selling piece of this retreat. And so I wrote down here, I just have my notes open on my phone here. I wrote, revenue does not, in capital letters, equal profit. And I think that this is something that is super important, not only for me, but anybody out there that's monetizing and creating things like this. On the outside looking in, it looks like this is really easy, right? It looks like these sales and, you know, we were able to just do this. So everyone's like, you and Jill are it's so easy for you. You guys have the following, you have the audience, you know, you're pretty, you're privileged. And you know what? We are privileged and I will never undermine that. And we're privileged in lots of things, but we also work our asses off and we also execute, I think, really, really strongly, especially together and separately. We're in totally different industries and we both, you know, we work hard, but we're also transparent. And it looks like we just had, you know, on paper, this was a $40,000 launch, okay? But that does not mean that is how much we are profiting. Absolutely not. There was at one point in time when I was doing the numbers, I wasn't even sure if we were going to be profitable. We were just breaking even. Okay. So just because something looks like it's, you know, shiny and there's this influx and whatever doesn't always mean the case. So yeah, it was a $40,000 launch, but right now we just did our numbers. We're over $25,000 worth of expensive today. And we still have a lot more to cover in terms of the food. This time, this is not an all-inclusive resort that we're going to. Whereas in Tulum, we kind of had a better idea and understanding of what the food was going to be, because that's something that is in the deliverables for the offer. This time we don't know that. We still have a couple contractors to pay. We know there's also going to be unexpected costs that come up. They're always is. And so this is not a giant money maker for my sister-in-law. an eye, not at all. And so I want to just be so transparent with that. If you're thinking about hosting retreats, it's not always what it seems when it comes to the money-making side of it. However, that brings me to my next point, which is, why are we doing this? Okay, Ayla, it's so much work. It seems like you've been doing this for months. You put so much time, energy, money into all of the marketing, all of everything. Why are you doing this? Well, it's very simple, actually. The bigger picture is the why. We see these retreats in a different light. We see them as powerful marketing funnels into our other businesses. We see them as positioning us as authorities in our space. We, like I said, in Tulum, many of the women, yes, they came to the retreat, but they also then entered into my world later on in my mastermind or privately. I know that some of them have gone and joined my sister-in-law in her team or bought products in her business. And it's a much bigger picture. The vision, the impact that we left on the women the first time around, that in itself is merit for me to do these over and over and time again, because we literally changed women's businesses and lives. We changed their confidence. We changed how they saw themselves on camera and how they viewed themselves in the world. We created a community and a network within the group of women there that I know is going to last a lifetime for some of them. Friendships were built. Of course, there was strategy and business and ways to monetize and package things up. Yes, that's a given, but it was so much bigger. And the influx of eyes and views that it brought to us and our personal brands was huge. So we look at it, we see these as much bigger than just profit. Profit, to be honest, especially for me, is probably on the very bottom. It's not a revenue generator into my business. I could sign one private client tomorrow and make triple the amount that I'm making on these retreats. So I want to just be so transparent and authentic with that, because it's not always what it seems. Nothing in life is, I think, in business or in life. I think we all know that at this point, but that's a big misconception that I think a lot of people think when they see these retreats and think it's just so easy and think we're just sitting on a pile of cash from them, but it's definitely not the case. So that's definitely a lesson that I want to own in on if I haven't seen. All right, another piece of a lesson that I learned here, and again, this brings me back, I think, to my wedding planner days, is with organization comes great power. I say this all of the time with my clients. Organization doesn't come naturally to everyone. Thank goodness my Virgo A-type Manny generator personality, it does. And like I said, I think because of my wedding planning days, I got so used to spreadsheets and planning events and scheduling and checklists and to-do lists and itineraries, like all of that stuff I had doing for years. But when you are planning a retreat, the power of organization is super important, especially when you are in charge and responsible of not only organizing yourself, but organizing other people. You have to have literally all of your T's crossed and all of your I's dotted if you want the execution to be seamless, and also knowing that there is going to still be shit that happens. There's going to be things that come up. There's going to be, you know, a problem that occurs, whether it's big or small. It's going to happen. In Tulum, one of the girls right off the gate lost her luggage. It was stolen out of her car. We don't know what happened to it. She had valuables in it. It really was not great, but it was out of our control. So also just giving it to God that there's only so much you can control. There's only so much that you can plan and get ahead of, and you can do your best, but there's still going to be something that happens. And that is for sure what happened in Tulum. And I know that it's going to happen here. I don't know what it's going to be. I hope it's nothing serious, hopefully something small, but there's going to be something. But I, as the host of the retreat, do my diligence to plan everything that I can in advance. So communication is huge. Making sure that you have a proper way to communicate with your retreat guests, that's huge. So we have a private Facebook group. We also have a private Instagram group where all of the women are in there, so we can keep them up to date with things, so we can send messages, so they can ask us questions collectively. That's been super helpful for us. And it also streamlines having to message people individually when we have updates and things. We also did one-on-one strategy calls with all of the women this time. So we hopped on a 60-minute call with all of the guests. We sent them an onboarding questionnaire that got all of their information in a Google form. So we got like their basic, you know, flight information, emergency contact information, dietary restrictions, all of like housekeeping, things like that. But then we took it one step further and we asked them, what do they want from this retreat? What do they want to learn from a business perspective? Where do they want to see their brand? We made them create Pinterest boards. We got super clear on exactly what shots they wanted before we met them. And so really dove in deep to their businesses and got a really clear idea of who they are and what they want to accomplish. And then we hopped in a call with them to get even more clear with them. So just organization, we put together shot lists. We had all of us there. So we were all on the same page before we're even getting to the retreat. So the more organized that you can be and streamlined you can be before your retreat, the better. Plus, we gave ourselves ample amount of time to plan and organize this time. So for Tulum, it felt like we had honestly maybe 3-4 weeks tops to launch, plan, and execute the retreat. We were a bit loco. I don't know what we were thinking. So that was a lesson that we learned from our first one. This one, we gave ourselves 2 months. So we launched the retreat in November. And as you can tell in real time, if you're listening to this now, we're not actually headed there until now, January. So we had 2 months to plan and coordinate with all of our vendors. So the lodge that we're staying at, the travel, that we to be able to arrange the travel because there's an hour and a half drive from Banff to Calgary. That's where everyone will be flying in from that aren't local. The restaurants, you know, the like all of the extra things that we're doing, ordering, you know, products and gift bags, clothing, you name it. We had 2 full months essentially to plan and execute, which felt a lot better and it kept the organization process a lot flowier. It took that stress off because we have full-time businesses outside of this business and my sister-in-law is a mom and I have a family. And so, you know, it's a lot of pressure when you don't give yourself enough time to be able to execute in the way that you want. And then you're going to miss things and it's not going to feel fun. So this time it still was a lot. I'm not going to lie and sugarcoat it, but it felt more seamless and less stressful than the first time that we did. And another piece with organization is schedules and itinerary. So we put together like a very, very in-depth schedule spreadsheet. It actually took 2 full days to put it together. But it's literally like every hour of every day, who's gonna, you know what, I'm actually just gonna pull it up here on my computer. We really thought, we have thought of every single thing on here, but we have the day, the time, what's going to be shot because it's a content retreat, who's involved, if there's any models, who's shooting what, the location, the description of the shot, we have wardrobe, we have props, we have links to different reels, for example, an inspiration, we have links to all of their Pinterest boards on this spreadsheet, we have a section for notes, like it's color coordinated. Each of the female entrepreneurs, the talent, if you will, have their own color. It's like ridiculously above and beyond organized, but we need it. Our girls need it. The second that we sent this to all of the women that are enrolled, I was hit with like an influx of, oh my God, that schedule was very overwhelming, but it also gave me so much relief. I know exactly where I need to be. I can start planning out my shoots and my wardrobe. Thank you so much. So creating a very detailed schedule when you're doing something like this is important. And then we also created them an itinerary. So we have like a, you know, A-type like spreadsheet schedule, but then we also have a visual, really beautiful itinerary that we built out in Canva that's a little bit more easy to fill, to read and to process for my visual learners. And so that has, you know, details on the photographer and the videographer. It has pictures of all the girls and their social handles. It has links to the restaurants that we're staying at, links to the gondola that we're going. It has like a rough draft overview of the schedule that links to the more detailed schedule. It's really detailed, but it's more visual. And then we're going to print this off as well and bring it for everyone to see in real time. So organization equals power when you are planning any retreat, when you're planning any event, when you're planning anything that encompasses more than just yourself. The more that you can keep the communication and the lines of communication open, the more that you can be transparent and just try to think of everything and make sure you follow up with people and confirm things with people, the better off you're going to be. All right, I have a couple more lessons that I want to share and then we'll wrap it up here. this one I wrote incorporate and get insurance. So as of now, this retreat business all falls under my corp, like Ayla Inc., my sole proprietor corporation. And that is for a couple of reasons. Number one, for the first one we did, we didn't know if it was going to sell. We didn't really know what to expect. It was kind of an idea. We threw spaghetti at the wall and guess what? It stuck. So it was just easier. I had Kajabi at the time. I have the website. My sister-in-law didn't have any of that at that point in time. And so it was just easier for me to handle everything. So with that being said, though, I am solely responsible and get taxed on all of the revenue, but then I also get to write off all the things. So there's pros and there's cons to it. And now that we've done this the second time and it went off, you know, we sold it out. This is like a real business sound. So we're ready finally to continue doing them in the future. Like I said, probably annually we'll do them, but we need to get a separate corporation. So that is on our to-do list. We want to name this as its own identity, its own business. And with that being said, we'll have a lot of perks that go into it. And it's going to help us with taxes and help us with, you know, the business stuff that not everyone loves to talk about, but that's important. And then also get insurance. So as of now, if anything happens, you know, we have terms and conditions, and we asked all of the women for their own insurance. But at the end of the day, heaven forbid anything happens to any of the women on the retreat, or you know, there's a hurricane or something and we're not able to do it, I am solely responsible for, you know, anything that happens. And so we need to get incorporated, and then we need to get specific insurance for this new business. That's just something that I want to preemptively get on, because as of now, it's not the case, and it is hovering over me. So if you're starting off a retreat business with somebody or for yourself, I definitely would think and consider those things as well. The other lesson that I learned and that we're learning and that we learned from the first one is hire help and ask for help. So the first retreat that we did, it was myself and my sister-in-law. We had our photographer, and then we had one other content creator there helping us. There was only four of us, and there was 11 women that we were responsible for creating content for in 3 days. I genuinely don't know how we pulled it off. I mean, we barely did. It was 13, 14 hour days. We were all exhausted. My lips got so burnt. I ended up getting third degree burns on them. They split open. My sister-in-law got massively sick. She lost her voice. She was also pregnant. Her feet swelled up like balloons. We were exhausted. The women were exhausted. It was just too much. And so we learned from that experience what not to do this time. And so this time we have double the help and half of the people. So we have 5 women that actually purchased and signed up for the retreat, and we have 6 people helping. We have Jaren Fraser from Nyche Media doing videographer. We have Aaron Crooks doing photography. We have my girls Maddie Busby and Tony Fudge as content creators helping out. And then of course my sister-in-law Jillian Walchek and myself hosting, coordinating, and also helping with content and stepping in when girls need models for shoots. So it feels, I guess, to be determined. I'll have to do a part 2 on what it was like after the retreat, but it feels already so much better. Four or five people to shoot and then 6 people to execute, so much better and so much more ease coming with it. And that is just something that if you can get help. And then also the second part is actually ask for help. So I'm not good at asking for help. I'm really not, but it's something that you need to do in any aspect of your business, especially when you have a team, is asking for help. So you have help, but ask for help. So there's a couple, you know, getting the women to in front of the airport. I didn't want to ask for help, but it's something that I need help with because we need to get there sooner. So I asked the girls that we've hired, and absolutely they're going to help us. We have a couple items to pick up for delivery. They're going to do it. And so if you're having help and you're paying for help and you trust your help, ask them for help. You don't have to do everything yourself, and it's going to make you be able to show up for what you're responsible for a lot better. And then taking it one step further, making sure that the help that you have is also organized and super clear on their expectations and deliverables. So letting them know exactly what they're responsible for, letting them know what they're going to be compensated, letting them know what they can charge you for in addition. So for us, I want my girls to, you know, we're taking care of their hotel and their food. We're also paying them a lump sum. We also want them to invoice us for any extra gas or expenses. Like, I want to be so abundant with them. I want them to feel like they're taken care of. And then with that being said, I've mapped out exactly what they're responsible for, who they're responsible for, and what I need for them during this 4 days. And so that everyone's on the same page, nobody feels resentful, everything's clear, and then everyone's able to step into their power and execute. And I want the girls that we've hired to feel empowered, because they are hired for a reason, because I think that they're the best of the best. I wouldn't accept or want anyone but the best of the best. So I want them to feel empowered to be able to execute the best of the best. So hire for help, ask for help, and be super clear with the help on expectations and deliverables. Two last things, and then we'll sum it up here. Above and beyond, always. The more you give, the more you get. So if you are an avid listener to the podcast, you know this is my MO for everything that I do in business and in life. I always come from the mindset of giving, 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 and then maybe receiving. And so for this retreat, there no expense is uncovered. I want this to be abundant. So we're going above and beyond. If you know, you know. We've created swag bags. We are taking them up on a gondola. We've picked the best of the best restaurants. Again, we're not concerned about this being a massive revenue generator. So no expense is almost too much in this way. We want the women to feel like, holy crap, this was the best $6,000 I ever spent. And we want it to be life-changing. And so I know with that mindset that the more that I give to them, the more in one way, shape, or form, I'll get back in return. And really going above and beyond is always my philosophy in everything that I do. And these retreats, I truly, truly try to go above and beyond in every facet. And I know that it's just going to make it all that much better. And it'll all come back to me in one way, shape, or form. Last but not least, daily mindset. I wrote, fill up your cup. So as you can probably tell, there's a lot of moving parts and I have a lot on my plate. I have my full-time business, my mastermind, all my private clients, my home life, and then this is almost like a whole other job. And so the last time, like I said, we did things to make it better. We gave ourselves more time to plan. We've hired more help, but it still is a lot. And so as the retreat is quickly approaching here, I'm finding, you know, I have butterflies in my stomach. I'm waking up in the middle of the night and checking off things in my brain and have a bunch of different tabs open. And so if you're planning a retreat, know that this is normal. I always say, if you're not nervous about something, you're not ready. And I want to be uncomfortable. Like, I feel a little uncomfortable right now. I feel there's still unknown, even though this is our second time. Like I said, it's new people. It's a new environment. It's a whole, you know, there's a whole lot of other moving parts. And so I have anxious butterflies. I'm nervously, anxiously excited. So with that being said, I know that it's important to protect my mental energy and my mental space right now and to fill my cup up. So yesterday, I almost took the entire day off and spent it with my mom. We did errands. My mom is like my sanctuary. She's my person that grounds me. And I called her. She had the day off. And I said, Mom, like, are you free today? I have some errands to run. Do you want to just do them with me? I would love to just, you know, be with you. And of course, she's like, oh, yeah, let's do it. But she grounded me and that filled up my cup. And for me, it's still making sure that I'm doing my meditations, my gratitude journaling in the morning, moving my body every morning, doing things that release the extra tension and stress that I have from this event, and making sure to prioritizing it before, during, and after the retreat. I'm going to still make sure that even though the days are long, we have 12-hour days, I know I'm going to be up at the crack of dawn, I'm still going to do my gratitudes, to find even if it's 5 minutes to calm my brain and meditate, to move my body if I can. I know there's a gym there. I've packed my gym clothes and prioritizing me. If I don't prioritize me in this moment, I know that I'm not going to be able to show up for these women the way that they deserve, the what they've paid for, what they expect. And so it's my job as a boss, as a CEO, as a powerful woman to show up for them and to show up for myself first. And I think that's a key takeaway for all of us as I wrap this episode up. And yes, I'm talking about this retreat right now, but this applies to every aspect of our businesses and lives. If we are not prioritizing ourselves, our self-care, our mental health, our energy, the things that we need to fuel us, whatever that is for you, nothing else will work. We won't be able to show up for our clients, our customers, our families, our kids, our parents, our spouses, our friends, whatever it is. So take the time to do what you need to do for you, boo, okay? And I'm gonna do the same. So yeah, those are some lessons into selling and planning your next retreat and taking you behind the scenes into what it's been like doing ours. And I can't wait to bring you along this weekend. If you're watching in real time, stay tuned. We are going to be showcasing and creating all of the fun content in Banff. I can't wait to show it. And if you want to know details on when we host our next content immersion retreat, definitely join the waitlist. Check out the link in the show notes, and I'll leave it there. Okay, Queen, I will leave it as that. And again, make sure to screenshot this episode and tag me at Ayla Sorchuk on Instagram if you found any value in it. And until next time, I will see you next week. All right, bye, Queen. Hey love, thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. It truly means the world to me to have your support. It is my mission to help as many female entrepreneurs and business owners as I possibly can. So if you found support or guidance in any way into today's episode, the best way you can show me your love in return is by simply screenshotting this episode and sharing it on social media with you and or your team. Or even better, you can always leave me a review on whichever platform you're tuning in from. I will be reading every single one. And don't forget, if you're looking for additional support, you can always reach me on Instagram at Ayla Frieda, that's AYLAFREDA, or you can learn more about me, my coaching services, or all my amazing freebies at www.aylasorochuk.com. That's AYLASOROCHUK.com. I can't wait to connect again next week. Bye, girl.